Blog Talk Radio.
My Lord, peace and blessings, my beloved brothers and sisters, family and friends. How are y'all doing? How are y'all doing? My first thing, my good ones, is I want to apologize because I have a tendency of talking a lot when I get ready to talk about God. Oof, can I talk? Can I talk? And last night, he wanted me to make sure that I speak to you about unity, not just unity in terms of what we should be like in unity, but how Satan causes unity so people can be more like him, can feel comfortable in such unity because they're feeding from the flesh as opposed to feeding from the best, and that is from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by my getting into talking about that, I went a little bit too far with talking about other things. So as of today, I will not spend so much time talking about other things as opposed to talking about precisely what he wants me to share. Allow me to pray. Dear Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I love you. I'm overjoyed with the things that you're doing in my life, Heavenly Father. I ask you, Father, to bless me. By that, you know I mean it has to do with my breathing. Bless me, Father God. As you so see fit, and let it be your will and not my own. I ask you, Father God, that every word that proceed out of my mouth be that which will give you all the glory. Father God, empty me. I decrease so that you can increase. Use me, Heavenly Father, in every shape, fashion, and form in which you so see fit. I pray, Heavenly Father, that every word that proceeded in the mouth in which you have given me, touch the soul of every, Father God, thank you, of every listener. I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, my blood brothers and sisters, I was talking about how I took the time to go and just listen to people. I do that quite often, to be honest with you. I love talking about God. I love listening to God. I love listening to people because you get to find out how you use what you love so much when people are doing that either for his glory, especially not for his glory. And while I was listening, this came to my mind. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. While I was listening to people, I come to see that Satan loves to build churches also. Yes, he does. He likes to build churches in anywhere he possibly can. And by that, I mean he likes building a congregation, whether it's inside of a bar or inside of a club. He loves building a congregation where people feel comfortable, where everybody know one another's name, where everybody is moving and wanting some fame. He loves doing whatever he possibly can that duplicates what God actually does. And if we don't pay attention to that, we'll never understand the reality of actually having a holy unity. And I want to share that with you. And hopefully we get to understand what's going on a little bit. Check this out. This is by Paul. He's writing the Corinthians. And it goes as so. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now, that's us. God deposits himself in us. He did that from the moment that he gave us breath. You can go to Genesis 2 and 7. You'll see that he formed man from the ground and he blew his breath into man and man became a living being. Okay, I'm going to share a little bit about that in just a second. But the word I want you to actually hear is this here. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? From the New King James Version, and I like reading from the New King James because it sort of gets a little bit more in detail about things, although I also love the King James Version. But at this particular time, I wanted us to hear about the reality of we either going to be a temple for God or we're going to be a temple for the devil. And if we're a temple for the devil, this is the things that we do. And I mean no disrespect to anybody. It's all about us. It's all about what we can get. It's all about our own pleasures. We don't care whether or not if we get it from each other. We don't care whether or not if we get it by buying things for ourselves, you know, our accolades, as one might say. We don't care. We're going to get whatever we can. You know, as a matter of fact, I went to a church where the women was wearing a shoe that was 4 to 6 inches high. Now, as they was coming down the stairs, which is only 3 steps, you can see that they couldn't even walk correctly. And they were so tickler about coming down the stairs until you would think that they was partially crippled. And the only reason why they all, because they was all part of family, the only reason why they all wore the same type of shoes, you can guarantee, is because of the fact that each one followed one another. That's basically it. This is what most people do. When you are about following man, you cannot be about following God because you can't serve man and God at the same time. It's impossible to do that. You can, however, be a servant to man by allowing yourself to be a servant to God. Being a servant to God, you will be there for man so man can see God. Yet, unfortunately, when you allow yourself to just simply think about what man thinks, how man feels, what man is about, you actually are telling yourself that you're a loser. I mean that with all who I am. The reality is this here. Jesus teaches us how to be leaders. He teaches us how to stand as a man, as a woman, as a king, as a queen, as a royal priest, as a part of a royal priesthood, as an ambassador. And not follow man and be able to do this. Turn your Bibles to, we're going to now to 13, 1 Corinthians and 13. Check this out. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, as we know that, and I said this to a family today, as we know, intelligence is very good to have, but many people don't understand that their intelligence leads them to places that they don't need to be. Being wise is definitely good to have because that takes you to a whole new level. But if you don't have the fear of the Lord, I don't care what you have, you will never actually understand the reality of true unity of the Trinity, of why there's three as opposed to just being God himself. See, this is what I love. God is the creator of all things, above all things, controls all things. But he gave us Jesus so we can know how to act like God. So we can come to the understanding that we actually have power by that, which is the noun, the next one, Holy Spirit. When we are about God, we are about a wonderful unity. Because in that unity, we understand we have the power to protect one another, to be there for each other. We don't even allow our minds to go into talking negative about anybody. because we're so busy edifying and loving and protecting and securing so that the person can have the opportunity to see what God acts like. Even when he's angry, as you can see, when our Father knew that Adam, Eve, bit the forbidden fruit, he was angry because he made it so that they can live forever. And because of their disobedience, he knew, now you're separated from me. And angered him, yet as opposed to him leaving them naked, he created the first sacrifice. And it is through that sacrifice that there was clothes. He provided that which was needed, which is what he does for each and every last one of us. And that is because he loves us, which is what we're about to read about now, okay? 1 Corinthians 13, speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You know, I got to think about loud noise. You know, it's booming. It really disturbs my ears. It disturbs my spirit. You know, it's unsettling. But when we allow ourselves to love with the calmness of the Holy Spirit, what happens is a person can receive it, or we make it easier for a person to receive it. Okay, check this out. Let's go to 2. And though I have the gift of prophecies and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. You see, the reality of true unity is looking at God and saying, you know what? I am in awe of you. If you did nothing for me today, it doesn't matter. Because all the things that you did for me previous is more than I could ever done for myself. So if I don't ever get to see you, if you never talk to me, to where I can hear it audibly, or it moves my spirit, just my heart, or any other way, it would be okay, because the reality is I look and I see you are God. You formed me into the womb while I was in the womb of my mother. You allowed me to be born for your purpose. So it don't matter what I think I have. I can be smart as can be. I can give all prophecies. But if I do not allow myself to love in the image of who you are, I am nothing. I mean nothing. And because of the fact that I don't allow that love to be perfected in me, I will never enjoy the reality of the unity of the Trinity. Jesus is the perfect act of his love all the way to the death on the cross. And we can only allow his love to flow through us by that of the Holy Spirit. We need each and every one of these individuals because it empowers us to love on a level that is beyond comprehension. We cannot understand it, but we allow it to flow through us so people can possibly see the difference between godly loving and the failing love in which we perform each and every day, even for our own selves. Okay, check this out. I'm only going to read one more, maybe two. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Nothing. If you go to Matthew 5:46 and 47, you'll see that what Jesus was talking about, doesn't even the tax collector do the same? What he was saying is, when you pay your taxes on time, the tax collectors, they'll love you, they'll, oh, I'm for you. But the moment you don't take care of that business, they hate you. They're ready to put you in prison. And this is how we are. Not just the tax collectors, just as how we are. If we don't do the things according to the way that man expects for us to do it, then we're ready to imprison you. You know, we have this thing that says, if you love me, then you'll do this, or you'll act like this, or you'll be like this, as opposed to allowing us to simply say, Father God, give me the wisdom so that I can enable this individual to see what your love looks like, so they can make a choice on what love actually is, based on the love that you actually are about. See, because when Jesus came to die for us, he came to show us what love looks like. That's why it's so important for us to understand John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He didn't wait for you to get better. He gave you better so you can get better. And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The reality of believing in him is believing in love, believing in unity, not only just the Trinity, but each other, to protect one another from Satan and be able to stand back from those who are about Satan, those who are allowing yourself to be used by Satan, those who say it's fun to go to the bars, and it's fun to talk about people, and it's fun to scorn people. It's fun to act like you got it going on. But when you allow yourself to be in one with the Trinity, you don't mind standing alone. And anybody who don't mind standing alone with God is going to be in good company with people who is of God. Let me read one more. Just one more. Just one more. Thank you, Father God. Love, no, I'm going to be a little bit more than that. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Jesus came with what? Grace and truth. Okay. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But, check this out. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether, oh, Father God, whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. No matter what gifts you got, because all gifts was given to you by God. This is what we should be enjoying. Now turn to Psalms 133. Psalms 133. This is the reality of us being a congregation and enjoying the beauty of unity. This is what's so beautiful about God. This is why I like talking to him so much. Because I want to be reminded consistently of what we're supposed to be like a church. His spirit is in us. We are the temple. And as a temple, we should be protecting one another with all the way of who we are, even to the point of death, like that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, check this out. 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is, brothers, to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard. Thank you, Jesus. The beard of Aaron running down. When a person is about to be ordained or is in the process of being ordained, they would take pure olive oil and run it all through the would drench the person in oil. That's how we, this is why he said running down the bed like that of Aaron. Oh, Father God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to say two again, okay? It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard. The beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garment. It is like the dew of army of Hermon, my apology, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing like forevermore. I ask you to think about that. In Genesis chapter 11, which is about the Tower of Babel, Jesus and God is talking, and they're saying if we don't stop them, they're going to be able to complete this mission. They wanted to build a tower that would reach all the way to heaven. The reason why it was stopped is not because of the ability to get to heaven or to reach that high, but because they said they did it for themselves so that we can look good. Point is, when two or more are in agreement, one or the other is going to be in the midst of it. When it's about evil, it doesn't mean that you won't be able to accomplish it. It means that you are doing that which goes against God. But when it's about God, Jesus is in the midst. So your accomplishment be about that of holiness, because you're doing it not for yourself, but for God, so that he can get the glory. So somebody can look and say, look how those brothers put this thing together. Look how those sisters put this thing together. Look at those Christians. Look how they work together. Look how they build together. Look how they open up hospitals and medical centers, schools. Look how they're working in our behalf. Because that's what Jesus did for us. He worked in our behalf. And this is why we are failing as Christians, because we won't allow ourselves to have that unity. Many of us is no different than those who are inside of the bars, inside of these clubs, and that of all the things that puts a frown upon God's heart. We are powerful individuals. Nothing should be able to stop us from enjoying the greatness of what God created us to be. And the one thing that we can do greater than anything is have a unity. And unity should be like this. Now go to Philippians 2. This is what unity should be like. Now God talked about love, talking to Paul. And now he's talking to Paul again about unity. Unity. Thank you, Father God. Philippians 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. See here? The Tower of Babel could have been done. Just like Jesus said, when two or more in agreement, so he was talking to Christians, when two or more are in agreement, there I am in the midst. But you got to understand, Satan gets in the midst of stuff too. And he can fool you and believe me, when I say this, he can have you thinking you're serving God when you're actually serving him. Very careful who you're serving. Okay, check this out. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. that each one of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now I'm going to read 5, okay? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You can have the ultimate unity. There don't have to be poverty the way that it is. There don't have to be people going hungry the way they are, homelessness the way it is, abuse the way it is, addiction. There don't have to be all of this. The only reason why it is such thing is because of the fact that we have not allowed ourselves to extend ourselves, even to our Christians, on a level that says, literally, you're my brother. And God told me in Matthew 5, my apology, Matthew 22:37-39, where he said that we're to love thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. And the second is like it, to love thy neighbor as oneself. Bring that unity to a point to where we say, you are me. Because I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to be naked. I know what it's like to be thirsty. I know what it's like to be able to have to sleep in the street. Or I know what it's like to be lonely. I know what it's like to want to kill myself from time to time. I know what it's like to want to finish everything. I know what it's like to lay in a bed. I know what it's like to be depressed. I know what it's like. And because of the fact that Jesus took on the stripes so that I can be healed, let me give you a testimony of such healing so that you can come to the understanding of sin. I am now loved. Now I know what that love looks like. I know what it feels like. Now I can make a better choice. Or maybe I don't understand what it feels like, but I know the person that came to me, he gave me a blanket. I know the person who came to me, he gave me some food. I know the person who came to me, he cared about me. Because isn't that what God said to us? Cast your cares on me because I care for you. That's what we're supposed to be. We are the ambassador to the poor. We are the ambassadors to those who are worried. We are the ambassador to those who feel like giving up and those who are hungry and those who are naked. We belong to them. We owe them. Because Christ did not save us simply so that we can go around and wear nice clothes and go to a building and shout to the Lord. What he did was he said, now go out and get somebody because I got you. Remember I came and got you? Now y'all band together as Christians and y'all help heal one another and you give a testimony to one another and you confess your sins to one another. So that each other can pray for one another. And while y'all are doing that, hold each other and let each other know that you are important to one another, that you're family. Because didn't Jesus say, who are my mothers and my brothers and my sisters? He pointed to his disciples. These are my mothers and my brothers and my sisters. We are in the best position that we can ever have. And all we have to do is truly have a unity with the Trinity and understand how they work so that we can duplicate what they are about so we can share with one another. And that way we become true brothers and sisters. God bless y'all. I love y'all so much. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.